This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan Kanisan with Noah Lim and Kusu Chuang in the studio this morning. It's 7:07 a.m. in the morning, which means we're talking about the serious side of serious business. In about 15 minutes, we'll be talking to Ng Lai Tin, project officer at the National Early Childhood Intervention Council on the reopening of childcare centres. But before that, we're taking a look at the markets. U.S. markets were mixed as investors locked in their gains as the rally may have overshot the economic reality. The Dow was down 1.1%. The S&P closed down 0.8%. The Nasdaq bucking the trend there, up 0.3% and at 9,954 points, touching the record of 10,000 points midday there. The Nasdaq, the tech-heavy index there, not showing in, eventually slowing down there, but still in the green. Noah, how is Asia looking yesterday?
The Nikkei 225 closed down 0.4%. SDI was down 0.1%. Shanghai Composite ended up 0.6%. The Hang Seng up. Hang Seng as well was as well as the FBM KLCI. It was up about 1.1%.
A good day for the Malaysian market yesterday. We've seen a lot of activity there. But right now, for a look in global markets, we have on the line with us Jack Kuzi, Director of Strategy at VFS Group. Jack, are you there? On the line?
I am. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir. Pleasure to have you on the line with us every other week. The Nasdaq hit another record high while the Dow and S&P were down last night, but still a phenomenal performance considering that we are in a pandemic. Are you a believer in the rally or are you selling into strength?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I mean, I've been here now on the show for the last 8 or 9 weeks, every odd week, and every we could kind of talk about this rally, and I've said I'm an optimist. I think the question we need to ask ourselves is, what is going to stop this rally now? So we've had a US-China trade war, market rallies. We've had military on the streets in the US, market rallies. Everything that's thrown at this market, earnings reports, unemployment, the market continues to rally. I think it's going to tick ahead. I think it's going to grind higher going forward. You know, it's been an amazing market. We've kind of had two rallies here, guys. You had the stay-at-home and the tech rally. In April, and now you've had the recovery rally. So airlines are rallying, industrials are rallying, value stocks are rallying, cyclical stocks are rallying. So really, with the Fed in line, with central banks around the world, with this rush to get into equities, it seems like everybody wants to get in now because they feel like they've missed out, and everybody's been wrong. The hedge fund managers have been wrong. Warren Buffett's been wrong. I believe this thing is going to continue to grind higher over the next couple of months. The only thing that I believe that can stop this rally at this point in time is earnings. And we're at the end of this current earnings period. We're not going to see earnings for a couple more months. And the fact that we're going to have long-term unemployment may eat into those earnings. But at the moment, I think it's clear skies ahead. Now, whether we're going to see another big month, like a 10% month in the market, maybe not. But I think it's sideways, a little bit down, but we're going to continue to grind higher in this market.
It seems to me the rally is driven by cheap money. Are there any undervalued buys that you're spotting now?
Yeah, it's not just cheap money. It's retail. I mean, retail is jumping in. The Robin Hood investors, the millennials investors. I mean, they don't know what losing in the stock market looks like because they've jumped in. We've seen this from, you talk about online brokerage firms who've reported an uptick in setting up new online brokerage firms. So, you know, it's retail money rushing in. And now it's the institutional money that was so bearish coming out of March, so bearish coming out of April, and the hedge funds who didn't take positions are now catching that up. So in terms of where I see some value, I think infrastructure, industrials are of particular value. I look at names like Caterpillar. I look at ETFs like the Global X Infrastructure ETF. If you're going to talk about where the next wave of spending coming from the world is, it's probably going to be fiscal spending. What do they do? They build roads, they build highways, they build schools, they build healthcare facilities. So that's where I see a continued move in that cyclical play in those industrials, and that's where I've really concentrated my area. But you know, we're in unique times, as always.
Well, Jack, in terms of potentially stopping the market rise, what about the fact that a lot of the day traders, as you mentioned, the Robinhood traders, a lot of the money the trading basically comes from the unemployment checks that the Fed has been giving them, the government has been giving them. That stops soon or imminently. Will that be another possible stopper to that, do you think?
Well, those Robinhood traders just doubled their money in the last 2.5 months, so they've got probably a little bit more to chuck in somewhere else. Yeah, I'm sure. I just you know, I just feel like it's kind of a bit of a frenzy, and that's not necessarily good for markets long term, but everybody's frothing at the mouth at the moment. It's a FOMO trade. It's a FOMO movement. And I just don't see any headwinds before this at this point in time. You know, sure, we might go sideways. Sure, we might pull 2-3% back or 5%. But let me say this clearly. If you're looking for the Great Depression trade, that is gone. It's alleviated. If you're thinking, you know, this is a Great Depression moment, we've alleviated that, guys. That's not coming, in my opinion. Are we going to retest lows? No. And I've said that for 6 or 7 weeks. The Great Depression trade has gone. You've missed that. That's not coming back. The question is now is how big of a recession trade is this going to be? And to be honest with you, my wife and I went out to dinner on Saturday for the first time, and it didn't look like we were in the midst of a pandemic. You know, restaurants are full, pubs are full, and we're getting back to normal life. So that is the question. You know, how deep will this recession be? Is the question we should be asking ourselves, not whether there's going to be a Great Depression trade, which I think has been alleviated at this point in time.
Right. Jack, healthcare-related companies like glove manufacturers that mainly sell to the U.S. have provided support to Asian equities, as we've seen. Now, is healthcare the equivalent of U.S. tech companies in terms of providing strong earnings potentials and a hedge against risk?
Well, that's an interesting question to ask me. No. I mean, glove manufacturers have done really well. Sure, you know, healthcare stocks have done really well in Asia, and they have supported that market. I mean, if you want to talk about specifically about gloves, I mean, it's not a difficult product to make. And I think what you're seeing is it's more of a demand issue rather and supply trying to catch up with demand. So, you know, in that area of the region, I don't believe so. In terms of Asian healthcare, I think it's been very good. I think you've got a growing aging population within Asia particularly, which, you know, is now more than a third of the world's population. In terms of healthcare in general, I think, you know, if you're talking about a vaccine or treatments for COVID, I think that's going to be led by the US. But it's been quite strong. If you're asking me whether I buy or sell, I'd probably sell it to strengthen and in that region.
Yeah, Jeff Gundlach, the bond market king, yesterday had a presentation, and he obviously, along with other high net worth investors, lamented the recent rise in the risk on markets, and have advocated a shift to gold and other non risky assets, including bonds. Is that something that investors or prudent investors should consider at this point in time?
Yes, I mean, you know, the most overused word in investing in markets is diversification. But it's probably the most prudent word. And any part of a good portfolio, in my opinion, that's well diversified, has an element of some yield and some defensive assets. Now, whether that's, you know, fixed interest products like, you know, government bonds or corporate bonds, or whether, you know, the gold, the shiny gold commodity of gold. I mean, gold has a value at this point in time. Look, I am not a big fan of gold, right? Generally, you know, it's an asset. Really, it's not meant to make you money. It's meant to be a defensive asset. And if you want to take gold, the gold bug's going to be, you know, jumping up and down in their beds right now. You know, if you want to take gold for the last 20 or 30 years, when you adjust it for inflation, it's done nothing, right? But in an environment where you have, you know, essentially negative interest rates, you have low interest rates, gold is attractive because your opportunity cost of holding gold is not as high because your yields in other areas aren't as high. So, yes, I think they still have a place. If I had to favor a defensive asset, my one would be U.S. Treasuries. And there are some really good corporate bonds out there that can give you some decent yield, particularly on the banks. I look at that, and that would be, you know, where I would go in terms of defensive assets going forward.
Well, Jack, talking about yields, the Fed has been pursuing this policy of yield control curve. What's the downside to that? And obviously, some commentators are saying that runaway inflation might just kill asset price increases as a result of that yield curve control. What other downsides do you see as a result?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like you've got a junkie and you're trying to take them off what they're addicted to. And in order to do that, you give them more of what they're addicted to. So it's a difficult game. The Fed is it's a difficult game the central banks are playing. What used to happen is the markets used to lead central banks. At the moment, it's central banks lead the markets. And, you know, that in terms of the long term, that is a difficult play. And how we unwind central banks out of the market is the biggest question facing global markets long term. How do you take, you know, what is not an invisible hand. It's a clean hand in the market. How do you take that win-win situation out of the market and reduce central banks? So, you know, I would err on the stir of caution there. I'm not a big fan of that for the long-term plays on that market. So that is a question mark that I can't answer for you. And when it does happen, it's certainly going to be interesting to watch. And that's where I'd probably place some defensive plays. But I don't agree with what they're doing. I think they're overplaying their hand. And we come to a market where, you know, where is price discovery? And that's the scary thing about where we see markets going forward, in my opinion.
All right, Jack, thank you so much for joining us on the line today. That was Jack Cousy, Director for Strategy at VFS Group. And really that last point, I think hammering home what we've seen over the last few months and over the last decade, right? We've seen monetary policy really evolve, and there's no longer the what invisible hand. We have a very direct hand steering the markets.
Yeah, I mean, there is no room for safety or prudence anymore. The central banks, and it's not just the Americans, right? It's the Europeans and the Japanese as well, have basically forced everybody to put their money into risky assets.
So the markets are really hinging on what the Fed is going to do, right? Like an opium addict. I mean, when you look at some stocks, the Hertz and JCPenney, they rose despite filing for bankruptcy.
I mean, Boeing's now, what, $200?
Yeah, so
Boeing?
Is the market too frothy, right? So I think there are still some, you know, remaining questions. Will there be a second wave of the coronavirus attack outbreak? How about data on defaults and bankruptcies that is not coming out yet? And, you know, will recovery be as strong as expected in the second half of the year?
Yeah, Jack did say that. I think he points out earnings will be one of those things that could possibly stop. I mean, we highlighted a lot of things that haven't stopped it just yet. The question is, what will or could stop this rally? Right now, we're going into a few messages, and when we come back, a look at early at childcare centres. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.